Ask me to minister in the word and preach the gospel this morning. And so I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 16. I want to preach a little bit about a person that I don't know if I've ever preached about before. And that is Hagar. I really, really do believe when I said earlier that God wants to do something special this morning. God's going to meet us in a special way. I don't know what he's going to do this morning. But I want to talk to you this morning about El Rai, the God who sees me. El Rai, the God who sees me. Let's just open up in a word of prayer before I read. Father, we come before you once again. We thank you for your presence that is here in this place. I pray here this morning that you would set me aside because I know it is not me. It is all you, Jesus. I pray that you open up every heart and every mind to your word this morning. Enable us to receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Genesis chapter 16, starting in verse 1. There's quite a bit of reading this morning. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Amen. But I'm really just going to stay here in this portion of Scripture. It says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her.'" Amen. This was something that, you know, it doesn't happen today, but way back then, this was long, long time ago, it was a custom. Amen. That they could build, if they didn't have children, they could build a family through someone else. Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Verse 6, "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress," Sarai said. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much so that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," or in Hebrew, it's El Rai. For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lehi Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Amen. So here, many of us have heard of the story of Abraham, right? And this portion of Scripture is before God made the covenant it's before God changed his name from Abram to Abraham and Sarai's name from Sarai to Sarah, before Isaac was born, amen? But I don't really want to talk this morning about Abraham and Sarah. I want to talk to us about a slave, an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Hagar was a nobody. Abram and his wife Sarah were the chosen ones of God. They were the promised ones. They were the ones that God was going to give them an inheritance and, you know, eventually raise up the seed to be a blessing to all nations. But here, many of us, we don't think much about Hagar because she was nobody. She was just simply a slave. And as she became pregnant and her master, Sarai, began to mistreat her. How many here have been mistreated, right? She was mistreated, and so she ran away. She fled into the desert. She said, I had enough, and she fled. But even though she was running from Sarai, running from Abram, how many of you know God was watching out for her? Not only was God watching out for Abram and Sarai, but God had his eye upon this slave called Hagar. God was looking out for her. God was concerned for her. Even though she might not necessarily have been the chosen one. She wasn't of the chosen seed, of the chosen line. But God was still concerned for her. God still looked her way. And how many know God is still concerned today with those that seem to be nobodies? With those that society says will never amount to nothing, God is still concerned. With those that they might not have status in society, they might not have money in society, but God is still concerned for each and every one. Even the Bible says that God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. How many here were foolish one time? Come on. Let's keep it real. We're in Victory Outreach, amen. We can keep it real. God's chosen the foolish things of the world. The New Testament also speaks of God has chosen us to be a people that were once not a people. But now we are the people of God. Once we might not have been, we might have been nobodies. I don't know about you, but I was a nobody. I was a drug addict running the streets. Society gave up on me. My mom gave up on me. Said I was never going to make it. Running from everything, running from the cops, running from society, running from myself. But how many know God knew where to find me? I said God knows where to find you. God knew exactly where to find Hagar. Even though she ran into the desert, she was isolated, she was by herself, but God knew right where she was at. God knows right where you're at this morning. He knows how to find you. No matter where you may find yourself, what situation you find yourself, no matter how low of a place that you get, God knows where to find you. And thank God for that. Because I don't know about you, but God has brought some of us out of some pretty low places. Some pretty desolate places God has found us. Even though we were there because of our disobedience, because of our sin, because of our mess ups, God was still there. He knew where to find us. How many thank God that he knew right where you were at? You might have been in that back alley somewhere. You might have been locked up in prison somewhere. You might have, you know, been in that crack house somewhere. But God ain't afraid to go into the crack house. I said, God ain't afraid to go into that back alley. He ain't afraid to go into the ghetto and to find you right where you're at. Not only physically does God know where we're at, but he knows right where you're at spiritually. He knows right where you're at emotionally, mentally. Sometimes, amen, how many know we could even be in church, but our mind is somewhere else. We can be praising God on the outside, But on the inside in our mind, we're all messed up. We're going through turmoil. We're going through trouble, and we don't know what's going on, or, you know, what's up is down, or what's down is up, and we don't know what's going to happen. How many have ever been there in church? Right? Let's keep it real. But let me tell you something. God knows right where you're at in your thoughts. The Bible says he perceives our thoughts before we even think them. He knows what you're thinking right now. For some, that's good. Some, that's not good. But he knows where you're at. I'm saying this in a good way. Not God knows what you're doing. You better watch out. Santa Claus is coming to town. No. He knows where you're at, which means he knows where to come and how to get you out, how to pull you out. On every level, God knows where we're at, and he's concerned. He has his eye on us. We're going to be talking about El Rai, the God who sees me. God sees us this morning. Not only physically, but he sees our heart. He sees our motive. How many know there's nothing can be hidden from the Lord? There's no place where we can go where God is not. In the book of Psalms, chapter 139, I got these scriptures this morning when I was praying. Psalm 139, it says, "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out from my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before me. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." God is everywhere we are. There's nowhere we can go where God is not. He's ever present. He's always there. Sometimes we think within our lives that we can get ourselves into a mess that's so deep, not even God can find us. Not even God can rescue us. But I'm here this morning to give you some good news. I said I'm here to give you some good news, Victory Outreach, this morning. That God knows where you're at and he knows how to pull you out. He knew exactly where Hagar was at. And even though Abram and Sarah were the promised ones, the chosen ones, God ran into the desert after the slave. How many here tried to run maybe and God ran after you? Because he's there. He's there. He's everywhere. He is El Rai, the God who sees me. As Hagar came to find out of who this God was, that this God was watching out for her. You see, God saw Hagar. He saw her affliction. He saw her pain. He saw her struggle that she was going through. And I want to let you know this morning that God sees what you're going through this morning. See, I don't see it. Your spouse might not see it. People around you might not see it. But God knows the struggle that's going on inside of you this morning. See, everybody in this room is battling something this morning. Everybody has a unique struggle that's unique to you. For one person, they're struggling with one thing, and with another person, they're struggling with something else. But all of us have a struggle. That's why I say, man, what's the use of trying to say, yeah, I got it all together. I'm good. Praise the Lord. I got victory in Jesus. And we try to hide the struggle because we want to look good in front of people. We want to look like we got the victory. We want to look like, you know, everything's good within our lives when inside everything's not good. That's why sometimes we just got to keep it real with one another. Amen. That's why even the Bible says, confess your sin to one another so that you can pray for one another and so that you can be healed. But if we keep concealing it, we also stop the healing from flowing. We all have individual battles that we're going through right now. I don't know what kind of battle you're going through this morning, but El Rai does. He sees you. He knows the battle you're facing this morning. And he's the one going to give you the victory. If we come to a realization of El Rai, the God who sees me. Because we can hide it from the pastor, we can hide it from the church, but you can't hide it from God. And that's a good thing. God knows. He knows the battle. And you know what? That should liberate you this morning. That, you know, it's liberating when you don't have to hide something. Because, you know, isn't it kind of tiring when you got to hide it? When you got to hide something, it gets tiring. But when you realize that God sees you for who you are, and he sees every little detail, and you don't have to hide from God, it's almost liberating. God, you know me from the inside out. I don't even have to confess, God. You know. You know me. He sees you this morning. He sees your trouble. He sees your pain this morning. But many would ask, okay, Pastor Jamie, if God sees my trouble and if God is so concerned about me, then why doesn't he do something about it? If God loves me and he knows the pain that I'm in and the struggle that I'm in, the situation I'm in, why doesn't God get me out of this mess? How many have ever blamed God for not doing something for you? Maybe it's a sickness that God didn't heal you from. Maybe it's whatever it is, a relationship, something within your mind, something within your heart that you asked God for. And it seemed that he didn't care because he didn't answer your prayer the way you wanted him to. And we live in a society that a lot of people, even when you talk to, they try to blame God. If God is so concerned and he sees, you know, because, you know, the number one thing that people say, well, if God is so loving and God is so good and he's all powerful, then why is there all this evil in the world? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why doesn't God do something about it? About this struggle, about this battle. People come with two conclusions. One, God doesn't care. Or two, God isn't able. Both are false, amen? Hagar was going through the same thing. Out there in the desert, all alone. Thought nobody knew her pain and her struggle, but God knew. You see, the answer why many times God doesn't instantly take us out of the situations we're in is because he wants to show us some things. He wants to reveal some things to us. And many times God uses hardship and trials and tribulations to give us an object lesson. God is a teacher, and he's trying to teach us and fashion us into his own image. And he'll use whatever it takes. And so he wants to reveal some things to our lives. Number one, he wants to reveal some things about himself to us. Now, many times we say, yeah, I've been saved for a long time, and I've been a Christian for a while now. I kind of know God. But he's beyond our searching out. He's the infinite one, the almighty one, the eternal one. No one here can say that you know everything there is to know about God. Can I get an amen, somebody? God wants to reveal more of his nature, more of who he is. And sometimes we think that we got God figured out until a trial comes, and then all of a sudden, wow, you know, this is kind of messing up my theology a little bit. God wants to show us fresh revelation each and every day of who he is, of how good he is, of how great he is, of how awesome he is. Because we ain't got God figured out. That's why we keep coming to church, right? That's why we keep hearing preaching and we keep praising God. You know, show us, reveal yourself to us. He was about to reveal himself in a new way to the slave called Hagar, to where she gave him a new name, El Rai. That name is nowhere else mentioned in all the Bible. This is the only place that that name is mentioned. God gave her a revelation that he gave nobody else in all of Scripture. Not even Abraham. That's heavy, right? And she was just a nobody, just a slave. God wants to give you revelation about who he is. But not only about who he is, but God wants to give us revelation through the struggle about ourselves. Because how many know there's nothing that reveals our true character like the fires of life? The trials of life, trials and tribulation. That's where we find out who you really are. I know you're looking good this morning. You're praising good this morning. You got that smile this morning. But we don't know who you really are until you've gone through some things. Until you've gone through some trials and some tribulations and some fires that have and the enemy coming against you. That's when we find out what you're made out of. Right? It shows us who we really are on the inside. If we're solid and humble and made in faith, God tests our character. I'll make you say amen. But he does it in order for us to pass the test. He does it in order to shape us and to prune us and to make us more fruitful. He's trying to shape us. He's trying to fashion us. And sometimes there's things within our lives that we don't even know about. We think we're doing good, but God is El Rai. He sees us. He sees what we don't see within ourselves. And sometimes he even, you know, speaks to maybe a pastor, maybe a leader, just some brother in the church, maybe even a child to come and tell us what's wrong with us. Hey, brother, you're kind of prideful. What? Hey, brother, you're kind of stingy. Time to give, but you never want to give nothing. Oh, but we don't like when people tell us about ourselves, right? We like talking about other people. Come on. Ooh, let's keep it real this morning. We like to talk about other people's shortcomings. We like to talk about other people's problems. Did you hear about Sister So-and-so? Did you hear about Brother So-and-so, what they did? I can't believe them. Man, they got some problems. They got some issues. Oh, but when it's time to talk about ourselves, we don't want to talk about ourselves. And all of a sudden, somebody tries to tell us something, and we start getting defensive. Hey, brother, you need some work here. Oh, you think you're all that, right? Let's talk about you. What about what you did last week? And you're trying to tell me? You ain't getting defensive on that person talking to you. You're getting defensive of El Roi, the God who sees you, the God that's trying to address an issue within your life. Can we talk about it? God is trying to address an issue that you don't even see, and he's trying to reveal it to you. Don't get mad at the vessel or, you know, that God uses to reveal it to you, because it ain't always, you know, somebody that you respect. For the prophet Balaam, God sent him a donkey. I pray that God would send some of you a donkey. God can speak any way and anywhere if you're listening. He can speak through a donkey. He can speak through a chicken. One I almost ran over in Jacksonville. Praise the Lord. He can speak in a church service. He can speak through a wino on the street. No, he can't. Really? You're telling God that he can't do something. Don't get mad at the vessel that God is using. Realize that this is El Roi trying to reveal something to me. Don't get defensive. Humble yourself. Everybody say humility. The Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. But God opposes the proud. Right? We got to walk in humility. Allow God to show you not only who he is, but who you really are also. Those areas within our lives that need work. He is El Roi. He sees us for who we really are, not who we perceive ourselves to be. Allow him to reveal those areas within our lives. Because he's doing so, because he's trying to shape you into the image of Jesus. And he's trying to get you ready for your purpose and for your calling. But we got to allow him to address those areas within our lives. Not only does God reveal about himself and about ourselves, but also about his purposes and his plan. Sometimes we think God's plan is one way, or God's desire is one thing. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves like Hagar in a desert situation, because God's plan was for Hagar to be connected to Abraham and Sarah and the promise. God put Hagar with them for a reason. She was connected to the most anointed, you know, man of God in the time. One that God had chosen. God had to reveal his purpose and his plan. Because how many know God's purposes are not always our purposes, our plans. Sometimes God uses trials and tribulations to mess up the plans that we thought we had, right? We thought we had some plans until God came and messed them up. You thought it was the devil messing them up. You thought it was the devil that cost you your job. No, that might have been God to try to get you back into church. Come on. Sometimes God has a way of messing up our plans. Amen. Because his purpose is greater than ours. His plan is greater than ours. And sometimes we got to allow God to mess with our plans a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hagar here, she was going through hardship, hard time. And what did Hagar do in response to hardship? What did she do in response to the mistreatment of Sarai? She ran. She ran for her life. She ran from her circumstances. Well, remember, it was God who called her there. It was God who put her and connected her with Abraham and Sarah. But she went through hardship, and she began to run. what she was running from just because it got a little bit hard. You see, has anybody here this morning ever ran when it got hard? When the going got tough? When it started to get a little difficult serving Jesus and you said, I can't do this, I'm gonna run. See, you can run from your circumstances, but new circumstances are always gonna find you. You can run from problems, but you can't run from God because he is the ever-present one. Remember what the scripture said in Psalm 139? If you run over here, God is there. If you run over here, God's spirit is there. He's everywhere. You can't run from God. But many try. As soon as it gets hard, as soon as it gets difficult, people tend to run. And that's why many people never grow up in Jesus. And they never grow in the things of God because every time it gets hard, they run from their problems. I mean, come on, let's keep it real. Isn't that why many of us became addicts? We had some issues, we had some problems, so we were trying to run and trying to escape. So we tried to escape in the pipe, escape in the bottle, escape in a relationship because we were running from hardship. Rather than dealing with it head on. Many have hardship within their family, within their parents. It gets hard, so they rebel as teenagers. Many want to get married. Does someone here want to get married? And it sounds all lovey-dovey. Oh, I'm going to love you for the rest of my life until death do us part. We're always going to be happy and holding hands. Yeah, even as me and my wife were in Jacksonville, she's trying to hold my hand. I said, I don't want to hold your hand. I'm on a mission right now. We're trying to get some souls here. I don't know where that came from, but it's true. Felt like I was on a mission trying to get some souls, and she's all trying to, like, I'm like, I'm not on a date right now. You gotta get a soul. But we got this image of marriage that everything is good and praise the Lord. But anybody that's been married for a while knows that it gets hard sometimes. Can I get a witness? It gets difficult sometimes. And many, especially in the society that we live in today, the first step is when it gets hard in marriage is to get out, to get a divorce. I'm done. I can't do this no more. And we run. Just like Hagar tried to run from her circumstances. Just when it gets hard, I'm going to get out this marriage. You're in the ministry, you're serving in the ministry. All of a sudden, you get rebuked and you get corrected and it gets a little hard and all of a sudden, you want to run. You said, I don't need to take this. This church don't treat me right. I'm going to another church. Like Hagar said, Sarah don't treat me right. She don't give me hugs and kisses and she don't encourage me, man. She rebukes me and she hits me and slaps me. Some of us get a little corrected. We say, I'm just going to go to another church. There are other Holy Ghost churches in Milwaukee, not Victory Outreach. I could go to any church and serve God. Not if God called you here. You could try. Hagar said, I could go to any couple and be their servant and be blessed. Not if God called her to be with Abraham and Sarah. If God has called you here, you can't be happy anywhere else. And I'll tell you what, I could line up a whole line of people that are not here in this church, that are in other churches, and God called them to Victory Outreach, They're still serving the Lord, but they're miserable. I'm thinking of many right now by name. And they call up Pastor Chuck, Pastor, I want to come back. But I'm stuck here. And you try to run from the church when it gets hard. God never promised that the church is, I mean, think about it. Think about where all of us come from all kinds of different backgrounds and upbringings and all kinds of history. I know I got a history. I know you got a history. And I know I got issues, and I know you got issues. And you put all them issues together in a melting pot called the church, and you expect there to be no problems? I mean, what world do you live in? Do you claim to be perfect? Anybody here? If so, you can come and preach and finish the message, because I ain't perfect. If you ain't perfect, how would you expect everybody else in the church to be perfect? Oh, he's the pastor. He's the leader. He's supposed to treat everybody with respect. Yeah, but we're human still. Don't we get grace? I know many of you want some grace when you mess up and you come to the pastor and the altar. God, forgive me, pastor. Give me another chance. But when the pastor messes up, oh, I ain't going to give him another chance. He should know better. I'm going to another church where that pastor ain't perfect either. Amen. We try to run from ministry, from the church, from marriage, from relationships when it gets hard, just like Hagar did. And what did God do with Hagar? She tried to run, but God went after her. And God found her. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, the angel of the Lord, now that term angel of the Lord doesn't mean an angel. It's talking about the Lord. That's Jesus. In the Old Testament. Because she called him at the end, the God who sees me. Amen. So it's not an angel, it's God. Found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? When God found her, he asked her a couple questions. And let me tell you something about God. He wasn't asking Hagar, where did you come from and where are you going, because he didn't know. It's not like he was asking Hagar these questions because he needed some information. He is God. He is omniscient, the all-knowing one. He knew exactly where Hagar came from and where she was going. Even though she didn't even know where she was going. He wasn't asking for information. He was asking her for her benefit, not his. He's trying to get Hagar to reflect. Because Hagar is on the run. On the run from God, on the run from the call of God. And he's trying to get her to reflect, where have you come from? Have you forgotten where you came from? And that's the same question that God will ask us when we try to run in hardship. Don't you remember where you came from? That original pit that I pulled you out of? That's why I think it's good. Like, you know, Pastor Charlie, some of us are tired of his testimony, but he loves giving his testimony. Why? Because he has never forgotten where God has taken him from. He never forgot where he came from. He came from the gutter, from the down and out. So did I. We can never forget Victory Outreach, where we came from. Because sometimes we get saved and sanctified and get a job, and all of a sudden we feel that, you know, we're too dignified to praise God no more. I don't want to praise God. I don't want to lift my hands. I'm praise the Lord. I don't want to get my hands dirty in the ministry. And, you know, we weren't afraid to get our hands dirty in the world. But now we're too dignified. Let's not get too dignified, Victory Outreach. Amen. Don't forget where you came from. So God is saying, remember where you came from. And he also says, where are you going? Reflect upon where are you going? Where are you headed? Hagar, if you keep down this same road to Shur, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be if you keep down this road? And sometimes we got to ask ourselves those kinds of questions. Where are we going to be down the road in the future? Next month, next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. If we keep on the path that we're on, where are we going? Where are we heading? Too many don't give thought to the path that certain actions take. That could be a good path. It could be a not good path. But where are you heading? Where is your future? Where is your destiny? Victory Outreach, God has given us a future. I say God has given us a future, a good future. He's given us a good destiny. He has called us to something greater. Are we headed in that direction? Are we headed toward the call of God and the purposes of God and the plan of God for our lives and for our families? Or do we want to continue to wander on the road to Shur, on that desert road? In church, out of church, unsure, sure, full of faith, no faith, wandering. Do you know where you're headed this morning? Do you know where God is taking you this morning? See, Hagar, all she had to do for a sure future was to follow and get in line with Abraham and Sarah. Because God was taking them somewhere. All she had to do was hook up with them and follow them, and she was going to get blessed. Where are you going? Where are you headed? Look what she says. She says, I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she answered. Let's look at God's reply. Let's see what kind of counsel God is going to give her. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. What? She probably said, what? She probably pretended not to hear. She's like, she said, what did you say? Say that again? I had something in my ear. I thought you heard something, but I know you didn't say that. Go back and submit to her, the angel added. I will increase your descendants so much so that they will be too numerous to count. God's answer to Hagar was go back to where you came from and submit to Sarai, and then I'll bless you. Hagar could have responded, but God, didn't you see how Sarai was treating me? Didn't you see how that church treated me? Didn't you see how they treated me? Notice that God did not promise Hagar that Sarai would treat her any better if she went back. That's heavy. He did not say to her, Hagar's going to treat you better. I'll let her know to treat you better. He didn't promise that. He just said, go and submit to her. Go and submit to her. Submit to maybe some more hardship. Maybe some more ill treatment. Go and submit to her. See, God didn't say it was going to be easy for Hagar. Just go and submit. He didn't promise it was going to get any better, but just go and submit to her. It wasn't going to be easy. But he did promise Hagar that if she would submit to his word, God's word, even in the difficulty, even in the hardship, that God was going to bless her and multiply her and make her into a great nation. That's a beautiful promise. Not only did God promise it to Abram and Sarai, but God promised it to Hagar as well. But the blessing was only going to come after the submission. See, in our hardship, in our trial, in those desert times that we find ourselves facing sometimes, God's answer to us is to go back. See, he told her to go back and connect with God's people. Go back and connect with God's people, connect with me, and submit. God is saying, submit to me, submit to my word, and I will bless you. But sometimes we try to revert to our human ideas and our human schemes to try to get out of something rather than just submit and say amen. Just say amen. Sometimes God wants to get us to that place to learn how to just say amen. Let it be. God, I submit to you, even though it's going to be hard. See, too many Christians have this idea within their mind that once you get saved and once you start serving Jesus, that everything's going to be hunky-dory and God's going to bless you and God's going to increase you and God's going to take care of all your problems. As a matter of fact, my Bible that I read says the complete opposite. It says that, in fact, if you desire to serve Jesus, you will be persecuted. You will go through hardship. You will go through trials. You will go through tribulation if you desire to serve Jesus. As a matter of fact, you're going to get all them things if you don't serve Jesus too. So there's no escaping hardship and trials and tribulation. You're going to go through it. It's the world that we live in. But the good news here this morning, Victory Outreach, is Jesus says, in this world you may have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He said, I have overcome the world, and I am going to make you overcomers as well. That hardship is not going to beat you down into nothing, but that hardship is going to build you up into something. Into what I've called you and created you for. We're going to have hardship either way. So we may as well submit to God and get the victory, rather than letting hardship plunder us time and time and time again. It's not going to be easy serving God. It's not going to be easy being married. It's not going to be easy being in the ministry, especially in Victory Outreach, where we're a frontline ministry. We deal with sin. We deal with problems. We deal with problem people. But that's where God gets all the glory. We have to learn how to submit to God and submit to his word. In the hardship and the trial, and the blessing will come. The blessing will come. I said the blessing will come. God wants to bless your life so abundantly. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your finances. He wants to bless your future. All you got to do is follow him. All Jesus said was to his disciples was what? Follow me. Did he say it was going to be easy? No, he didn't. Because all of his disciples became martyrs. But it was the way to God's blessing. So he tells her to go back and he says, I'm going to bless you, your descendants, so much that they're going to be too numerous to count. Verse 11 says, the angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. God had a purpose in the name that he gave her son. God says, name him Ishmael. Ishmael means God hears. God hears. So he's telling Hagar, every time you call his name, Ishmael, you are reminded that God hears your cry. God hears your pain. God hears your struggle. Every time you call his name, Ishmael, come here. You're going to be reminded of my faithfulness to you. Because how many know that God is faithful? He said, name him Ishmael, because I want you to be reminded of God's faithfulness, of my faithfulness to you. There's a story a couple chapters later, I'm not going to go into it. I wanted to, but there's no time, where after the birth of Isaac, Isaac is born now through Sarah. So now there's a little competition going on. Now, then Sarah, you know, they get into it again, and then, you know, they get rid of Hagar again. Sent her away. But by this time, Ishmael's like 13 years old. He's in the now generation. And they went into the desert and they drank their last drop of water. And she put the boy over under a bush. And then she left him there. And she went over here. She said, and she just started crying and she started sobbing. She said, can't watch the boy die. They're going to, you know, starve to death. They didn't have no water or food. I cannot watch the boy die. She started sobbing and she started crying just a couple chapters later. And then God shows up and says, what's wrong, Hagar? What did I tell you to name that boy? And it says, God heard the boy crying. Hagar, did you forget all these years later of my faithfulness? Of the name Ishmael that I hear, I see, I am El Rai, the God who sees you. I see your pain. I see your struggle. Even though they cast you out, I see you and I hear you. And then God opened her eyes to a well of water, and God provided for her and her son. God sees all and he hears all. That's good news, amen? You see, in her affliction, Hagar received a fresh revelation of God to the point where she gave him a new name, El Rai. You are the God who sees me, in verse 13. But not only do we need a revelation, church, that God sees us and he knows what we're going through. And he wants to meet that need and he wants to make us into his image. But also, it says, for she said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Not only did she realize that God saw her, but for the first time, she saw God. She says, I have now seen the one who sees me. The Lord wants us this morning to not only realize that he sees us and he sees our pain and he sees our struggle and he hears our cry, but also he desires to reveal himself to you. He wants you to see him and to see his glory and to see his power as the worship team makes their way this morning. He wants you and me to have a fresh revelation of God. To see God in a new way that we've never seen him before. God wants to reveal himself to you this morning. See, we didn't come to church just to like in school to learn about God. Learn facts about God. No, God wants to reveal himself to you. In a personal way, in an intimate way. And this experience that Hagar had in the desert with El Rai was an experience that she could look back on for generations to come, that Ishmael could look back on from generations to come, of how God showed up that day. And he revealed himself. Jesus is not playing hide and seek. we might be playing hide and seek with Jesus, but he knows where you're at.